Welcome to episode 35 of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, the podcast guaranteed not to rage quit no matter how tough things get. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And we've got an episode devoted to frustration for you tonight. But before we get into the frustrating topic matter, let's kick things off with our weekly tradition of our weekly geeky or geekly, depending on who you ask, roundup. We type it geeky on the site. I stubbornly say geekly every week, so we'll eventually come to some consensus. But
I like geekly.
You like geekly? I like geekly too. It's neatly.
Neatly.
We have arrived at a consensus as to who's going to go first with the roundups, though, and that would be Brian. Why don't you let us know what you've been up to, man?
I had basically 2 weeks in my last week. I started off inspired by wrapping things up for 2012 and having talked so much about Ready Player One. I started off living in the 80s. I watched War Games, Red Dawn, all kinds of old just movies from my childhood that I had seen but kind of half forgotten, and that was fun.
Cool.
I actually don't think I'd ever set through all of War Games before. I'd seen it, seen bits and pieces of it, blah, 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 but I saw stuff that I did not remember, so that was nice. A new appreciation for Matthew Broderick.
Hello, Professor Falcon.
Remember that. I remember that part.
Oh my god, it talks! It's magic! No, it's just a speaker. Oh, what? That was...
Never did quite figure out why they allowed like a dial-up phone line to be tied into their supercomputer that a guy could just dial in. Some kid could dial in on his like primitive modem.
Don't tell everyone about back doors, Tom.
The back door was just a phone line that somebody forgot to unplug.
My second half of the week, getting back into Xbox, mostly because of you guys, and again, Christmas gifts, I spent practically every second of it on Guardians of Middle-Earth. Tom, I know you mentioned it. Did you ever play it?
No, I was at your house, and I believe I pestered you to download it, didn't I? And then left and never played
yeah.
it.
Yeah. you should play it.
Good stuff, huh?
It's pretty fascinating. And some elf that's not Legolas completely kicks ass at it.
His name's not Legolas, it's something other Gullus.
It's a Holthor, I think.
He sounds cool.
He's pretty badass. He's way better than Legolas in the game.
And he doesn't look like Orlando Bloom with a blonde wig on.
One thing I will complain, and I guess this is just my fault because of, you know, not needing a new 50-inch television, but I have that Vega from like 93 or whatever that was kind of mid-def but not really high-def.
Oh yeah, the Sony
so
Vega, yeah.
They all look like green blobs to me because apparently if you don't have high-def, you're a piece of shit who doesn't deserve an Xbox. Which is also why I don't know what the fuck his name is.
I will say that Vega has done you a tremendous service, and it's been a great TV. But you're kind of getting ripped off by not having an HD television these days.
I have a little tiny like 22-incher in the bedroom. How do you like that,
ladies?
Oh
yeah.
And it looks awesome. Like we got it just for streaming movies and just for Kimberly's Xbox. And it's badass. It looks beautiful. Sometimes I like it better than the big screen just because with it being so small and like, you know, you can kind of sit close and it still looks awesome.
Tom will attest. Once upon a time, my eyes actually like evolved to read low resolution text. I played EverQuest on that computer back
when. Oh, man. Yeah. Brian had, I mean, the Sony Vega like flat screen was like the you know, if it was a flat screen tube, it was like a top of the line TV you could get back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it was admirable that you could even hook a computer directly to it and even have any kind of like legible text. But it was hard for us to read when we were over Brian's house playing EverQuest, but he could read it like it was no problem. His eyes like totally like adapted.
16 hours a day in front of it probably had something to do with that.
Yeah.
EverQuest was my first real addiction.
We gotta get you. We gotta get you. Our new Ganza goal for the year is to get Brian an HD television set.
We'll do a. We'll do some. We'll do like a. What do you call it? We'll do a PayPal donate button on the site.
Absolutely. Notice, in keeping with your '80s theme, I said television set, Brian.
A set.
Yeah.
Make sure it's not one of those plasmas, because I won't have room for my rabbit ears.
And I'll even buy you an extra roll of tinfoil. And an extra set of vice grips.
Vice grips.
So you can change the channel.
So living in the '80s, playing some Guardians.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised. Apparently, I've missed an entire genre of video game for a year or two.
Hmm. Hmm. I will endeavor to download and play that game with you, because I was the one who put you up to playing in the first place.
Excellent. Cool. It is five players, Rick.
Yeah, I'll download the demo and try it. It's free, so why not?
Help us vanquish our foes in a realmy land of dragons and elves, Ricky. We know you like that sort of thing, me lord.
It's Lord of the Rings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. It's all of it, too. It doesn't just, like, end halfway through or a third of the way through. Well, you're actually going to play the entire game.
This isn't part one of three.
Well, that's incentive right there.
Way better than the movies.
Anything else, Brian?
That's it for me. Oh, wait. No. Actually, there is one more thing. Rick will probably appreciate this more than you, Tom. But Greeking is one of my nerdy little obsessions. Do you both know what Greeking is?
I am an educated designer, sir. So, of course I do.
You do.
Don't know what that is.
It's a lorem ipsum. It's the generic text that you use when you're designing something and you don't have real text.
Oh yeah, okay.
And I came across. Have you ever heard of Riker Ipsum?
No.
There's a website that generates famous Riker quotes from Next Generation. And you use it for Greeking.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Very cool.
That's funny, man.
And that was my week.
Cool, man. Cool. Rick, how about you? You been up to any Greeking or Latining or anything?
My Greekly activities for the week.
Weekly Greekly roundup. Nice. Very nice.
Well, do you really have to ask? Of course it's been Skylanders, Skylanders, Skylanders. I'm up to 39 figures, I think, and two more coming to me. I pick up my pre-order 3-pack tomorrow from GameStop, so I'll have a new battle arena type of weapon assisting thing, and then two new characters, so that's cool. And, man, I can't, like, Saturday, if anybody saw my Facebook post, it was Skylanders, why'd you steal my Saturday? Because I was like, oh, just let me pop on real quick. Yeah, right. Dude, I played all day and all night, and I only played one level, like one, like, quote-unquote official level in the game. Everything else was getting achievements or mini-games or... Dude, I don't even know what. Oh, like level... Like, You know, I was saying you can do, like, the heroic challenges in this game to, like, boost your stats. So I picked some of my guys. I was basically just, like, stat farming. It's ridiculous, man. It was so fun. But some of these characters, it's cool. Like, you can really manipulate them to play, like, how you want them to play. And some of these levels are designed for a specific type of character. So it's easy with type A, but insanely difficult with somebody. Let's say, for instance, super easy to pass it if you got a guy who shoots and has really good aim. But then maybe you have like a melee character, so he tries to do the same specific heroic challenge, and it's damn near impossible because it's really hard to hit like one little target at a time and stuff like that. So made for major frustration, but one of my characters that I was really digging is one of the giants, and he moves really, really slow. So I wanted to do all the heroic challenges to speed him up, and needless to say, he was not built for it, and perfect for today's subject, because I was getting to the point where I was ready to fucking kill myself for 4 points of extra speed. It was making me fucking mental. It was crazy. And then other than that, Skylanders. Finally was able to spend some robot time. Busted out the soldering iron and threw together a couple prototypes for some cool stuff I have in mind, which I might showcase on the show after I get them finished. But yeah, spent some Arduino and robot time. And that pretty much wrapped it up.
An eventful new, I guess, first week of the new year for you.
Yeah, I cleaned house a lot. You know, I decided I'm gonna play the shit out of my video games, which I neglected for a bunch of the time at the end of last year. I have had a shopping list online for a bunch of parts I need for some projects, so I finally finalized that, hit the go button. I figured I wasted so much money on fucking Skylanders in the 6 days or 5 days after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, that I had to make sure that I took care of other shit that I've been putting off, because I'm like, I'll get around to it or whatever. So, yeah, I made sure that I spent some quality video game and mental tech time. So I kind of went hour for hour. For every hour I played doing video games, I also spent that many hours tinkering and programming for fun, not for work.
Nice.
And I'm going to try to keep that up. So
I need to do that. I need to do as much creating as I do consuming. That's a good, that's maybe a sort of pseudo New Year's resolution I'm going to steal from you, I think.
It helps keep from getting burnt out. You know, it's like I could sit there and wail through Skylanders, but at what cost? You know what I mean? It's like I look forward to, you know, like I didn't play tonight. I totally could have played, but I didn't, because I'm looking forward to playing tomorrow with my new figures and just geeking out on it full blown. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, man. All right, then I guess that brings the Weekly Geekly around to me. I've been on break, and as you guys know, I have been wasting all that time doing basically kind of what you were saying, Rick. I didn't even try to do anything productive. I played a bunch of video games and blew through what for me is a lot of games. I'll just quickly go through them. I beat Resistance 3 for Killzone 3 and Uncharted 3, all for the PlayStation 3. Huh?
Holy, how about that? Shit.
Yeah. I beat all three of those games. I also beat Fable 3 for the Xbox 360. And as you guys know from last week, I saw The Hobbit, or last time we spoke, I saw The Hobbit 3 times. So I started 2013 with a bunch of threes. I think that's a way to guarantee myself a fun and profitable year.
I think I finished 3 games in 2012.
I finished more at the end of the last like month of 2012 than I finished all year, probably. So yeah, I blew through. That's a lot of games for me. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm forgetting one. Spec Ops: The Line, the game Brian got me for Christmas.
Did you finish it already?
Yeah, I finished
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ!
At great cost to my sense of well-being, but that game is a perfect was a perfect motivator for me for tonight's topic.
I'm still playing fucking the first Splinter Cell.
You take your time. You take your time, and I don't.
I'm not even kidding.
I was on a mission to play some games.
Obviously, I'm proud of you, man. That's impressive.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I've been, in addition, on the Wii U, I've been playing some more new Super Mario Brothers U, making more progress in that. I was able to play a little local multiplayer on that, and it's a pretty fun experience when you've got one person with the tablet and one with the controller, because the guy with the tablet can basically help you not. kind of cheat, kind of have a leg up on the game, which is fun. He could like put platforms in place for you and kill enemies. It's neat. In addition, after I finished up Spec Ops The Line and decided to quit hunting for achievements in that game, I popped in a little game called XCOM Enemy Unknown. And I gotta tell you, that game's great. Absolutely, just it's every battle seems pitched. I really feel like I'm involved in the game, man.
I played just the demo, and was fucking blown away, dude. It was badass. And like, I haven't played any other games on Xbox that felt like that. Like, I felt like we were playing. It was like a cross between an awesome video game and the best miniatures tabletop game that I've ever played. It was like a perfect symbiotic relationship of both of those on my screen at once is what it felt like to me. I loved it.
Yeah, it's got a lot going on. It's got sort of the macro game, you know, managing the world, and then you're doing squad-based combat. It's, you know, sending your guys on missions. It's cool. It's definitely badass, and it gets a solid recommendation from me.
I'm hesitant to try that. I was just scarred horribly by the what was the first one called? XCOM.
XCOM UFO Defense.
UFO Defense. Yes, that game was very difficult.
Yeah, I'm playing on regular difficulty, and I'm having a time. So I won't be playing on a harder difficulty. Difficulty level, that's just not going to be happening.
Brian, play the demo. You can get a demo on the Xbox Live.
I don't think you understand the level of my trauma.
You know what traumatizes me? I really want to get this game, and I liked it enough where even my cheap ass would pay the full price for it, but I know I will never play it because it's too involved and I can't sit down for that long of a time to play it, so I'm screwing myself. So I'll pick it up when it's like $9 and then I'll play it, I don't know, 2016 or something like that.
I thought I could. So I started a game yesterday and I hadn't saved at all and I just quit the game. I just walked away from it because I had done so disastrously bad. I'm like, I can't let this be my first time out. So I started over today after work and all I could think about all day was playing again. So I don't know, Rick. It might suck you in more than you think.
That's what I'm afraid of, because I, you know, just like I was saying, like Splinter Cell, I felt was like the same thing. Like, I love that game to no end, but I have to have an absolute clean, clear schedule and perfect mindset to play that type of game. That's just how I am. Like, Skylanders, it's like, you know, it's more like a game of my old school games of, like, Galaga and Space Invaders. Like, you just... You go in, you get out. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to get used to these long-lasting stretches of gaming. So,
yeah,
I'm used to long stretches of gaming, but not locked in between point A and point B style gaming is what I mean.
Yeah, so. I hear what you're saying. You can just drop in and pop out when you're done.
Yes.
Yeah. The long commitment gaming is something you have to prepare for. I understand.
Yes, and it sucks because I wish I could just tune everything out, but I can't because I want to play it, dude. It's awesome.
It is. So apart from that, I also started reading Starship Troopers, which was a book Brian recommended, and I'm a little more than halfway through, and I think a lot of the reason Brian recommended that game to me is because the guy basically is in agreement with me philosophically about just about everything. Like, every time he's made, like, a point about society or the way things ought to be, I was like, I know I go around preaching like that, like, constantly. So, good call, Brian.
I thought you'd approve.
Yeah, the author's just take on everything really resonates with me, so.
What year is that book from?
Was it written or when's it set?
When was it written?
The 60s, wasn't it, Brian? 19...
I'm not sure.
I want to say he wrote it in the 60s or 70s. I'd have to look again. But it's an older book.
Yeah, my point was it wasn't a book based on the movie.
No. Oh God, no. No. Already, it's like so much more substance in the movie, and even the stuff that they showed in the movie wasn't accurate. Oh, never mind.
I would really like to say, as far as I'm a book person, so I usually say, "Oh, read the book." This is to the movie is to the book what First Night was to the Arthurian legend. There are characters named Rico both in the book and the movie, and that's about it. That's not...
Yeah, it's pretty dissimilar. So,
well, I love that movie, so I won't read the book then.
I like the movie. I'm not knocking it whatsoever, but it's just got nothing to do with the book.
Yeah, from what I gather, so far, they're just completely unrelated. Like, yeah. The concept is, like, loosely there, but there's just so much that they missed out on.
First published in 1959, by the way.
Geez, that old? It's pretty future-looking for something that old. So, yeah, anyway, that's the only real non-video gaming thing I've been up to. And that concludes my roundup.
Thank you, Captain Ibanez.
So, to get back to one of the games that I played, that being Spec Ops The Line, I want to say that it lived up to the hype. I came away feeling like I made some, like, bad decision. Like, I did bad things playing that game. And it's because throughout the story, you're called upon to do... It's not black and white. It's not cut and dry. I'm the good guy. I'm the hero. And there's multiple endings, and I went through all of them to see what played out. And, like, they're just... All they are shades of bad. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, well, it could have been worse. Oh, and then you play the next one, like, oh, yeah, that's way worse. And then, oh, wow, this is the worst. So when I let each of you borrow that game, and you absolutely must play it, make sure you, when you get to the end, you load up your save game and redo the ending.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you did that. You didn't play it over and over. You just saved at a spot.
Yeah, no. I could not bear to play it over and over because in addition to playing this game that is, pardon me, in addition to playing this game that is sort of emotionally a little bit draining, I decided to go achievement hunting and bump the difficulty up to the highest because after all, you know, I had beaten those other PlayStation shooters I mentioned playing. I had beaten them on the highest setting. So, you know, hard setting is universally, it's universal. You know, if you play on the hard setting on Halo, you might as well be playing the hard setting on this game, right? It's all the same. There's no...
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. As I said, my experience with this game was the perfect motivation for tonight's topic, which is, when is hard too hard? When does challenge in a video game or really anything you do for entertainment cease to be fun and start to be a contest between your stubbornness and the challenge before you? And that's what this game became for me. I was angry. I was playing the game and I was like pleading with the game, like, just let me get through this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is horrible. Give me the achievement. But I'm already like more than halfway through, so I'd feel worse if I just walked away. And it was one of those situations where as my frustration built, I refused to adapt. Like, I refused... The game wants you to, like, dodge and move from cover to cover. I mean, there's a way to beat it, especially on the harder settings. You've got to be careful and, like, pop out of cover, shoot an enemy, duck, run. But no, I was going to do it my way by sneaking around. And, you know, I just kept doing it over and over and over and expecting this game to yield. And it would not yield because it was programmed to be played a certain way. And, oh my God, by the end, in addition to, like, the downer of a storyline, like, the fighting for my life, like, my heart rate was elevated. I was angry. Like, I had some kind of, like, post-traumatic gaming syndrome or something going on at the end. And I want to say that, in addition, one line that I crossed while playing this game was, the line from fun, from entertainment and fun into frustration and heartache. And I wanted to get your guys' opinions on that. Do you have any similar experiences? And do you have a gauge? Like, can you feel that yourself approaching that line? And are you able to just walk away? Or are you, better yet, are you able to just not be a glutton for punishment? And, you know, and maybe because you're trying to get trophies or achievements or whatever, can you just not set the difficulty to max, you know, to try that out?
That's exactly what I was just going through with this fucking Skylanders thing. All right, because I have so many Skylanders, I only bring out a troop at a time. So I'll grab a giant, and then I'll grab one character from each of the elements. This way, every time I go and play, it keeps it kind of new and fresh, and I can level all the characters up. Okay?
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to level up some of these guys that I like and, you know, get their stats up, and had to go in these heroic games, these heroic mini games. And the one in specific, they have these little tiny guys. They remind me of the Izzes from the Max cartoon back on MTV on the old days.
Oh, yeah.
So, but they're called Chompies, right? And they're basically these little bubbles that have big fucking teeth and big mouths, and they run around. There's green Chompies, which are the bad guys, and then there's the elusive purple Chompies, who are good guys. So you've got to go through this level killing 55 green ones without killing more than one purple one, because if you kill two, the entire race dies off. Okay?
Wow. Ouch.
So I'm dealing with one of the Skylanders' giants, who's this big, lumbering fucking giant thing. He's a giant hornet.
So accuracy is your fine point, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. And accuracy is what you need to do to complete this. But I have this big lumbering guy who, if anybody so little as bumps into him, they explode. I'm going through and I'm doing the best I can to just hit just green guys. But once in a while, I want to swing my arm or whatever. But he's so big, when he pulls his arm back, he'll hit somebody that's off frame that was purple that I didn't even see and shit like that. And dude, I was F-bombing my TV. There was no fucking purple chompy there! It was ridiculous, dude. And I would get up to like 53, 54. I need one more. And I'm like walking around the dungeon looking for him. And lo and behold, he walks from around the corner, bumps into my leg and kills himself. I'm like, you son of a bitch! So, dude, it was, like, it wasn't even that it was hard. It was just, like, it was hard, but not, like, the normal video game hard that you're used to. It's like back on the old Mario games where you'd have to, like, jump a gap, and you would jump that stupid gap 1,000 times, and it was no big deal. But the time you needed to jump that gap correctly, you always fucked it up. And it just, it drove me mental, man. Like, and I was ready. I kept saying, I'm gonna fucking quit. But I wouldn't quit, because the next time I'd be like, all right, just relax. And then I'd play and I'd start to do really good. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to do it. And then boom, purple chompy blowed up and just would ruin it. And I swear I played for like a fucking hour and a half trying to get 4 points. But once I got it, that was the greatest 4 points of speed I ever earned.
So the reward ended up being worth it, would you say?
Yeah, but you know what the most frustrating part is? It's not like I learned anything and can go do it again, because every Skylander is going to be different. They all have different body types. They all have different attack types. They all have different nuances. So every time I go in there, it's going to be fresh. So I very well could be going through this same exact frustration with 39 other Skylanders.
Oh, God.
And there's no way I'm not going to do it. Because not only do I get an Xbox achievement for it, but I get an in-game achievement for it. That's where this game gets you hooked, man. The internal, they're called quests, and you get accolades. So there's this internal system of conquered quests for individual characters and then character types. Then there's your overall gameplay, where you get accolades, which are little medals and stuff that you win within the game, and then the standard Xbox achievements. So it's like quadruple fucking deep, man. And I got to deal with it with all 40 plus characters. It's going to be crazy.
Three layers.
You don't have time to play a lot.
But it's quick. Like, you know, like a game is like, I can go in and do a heroic is a 3-minute game. So if I have to play it 12 times, you know, that's like a half an hour killed, and I'm like, I'm done for the night. But so yeah, it's different. It's that I don't have a problem with playing games for a long period of time. It's that commitment from A to B where the story is involved and stuff like that. I think that's one of the reasons why I like Skylanders so much, is that it feels like a bunch of little game segments that don't feel daunting or overwhelming or overly consuming. It's like crack, you know, it's just like a little thing, but it gives you a real good bang. And I think that's what it is. I'm not going for the fucking long haul binge. I'm going for the short shoot ups. So.
And they've got you coming back with like 3 layers of meaningless in-game, like, you know, yeah, booby prizes, which I fall for too. So trust me, I know.
Yep.
Wow. What about you, Brian? You've made no bones about the fact that you don't go in for achievements and you don't care that much. Have you nevertheless found yourself beating your head against the wall with certain games?
Oh yeah. I can't even think of what my motivation is. I think stubbornness is part of it sometimes. For instance, I know people universally pan this game, and it's nowhere near as good as the sequels, but Diablo 3.
Mm.
I'm recently level 60, working on Paragon, badass gear, spent like, you know, millions of gold on it. Having fun, doing quite well, and every once in a while something just absolutely fucking kills me from off screen with no warning whatsoever, and then comes to my bind point and camps me for hours.
Oh no.
They have abilities. They have completely horrible, devastating area attacks. And every once in a while, one of the boss mobs has an ability that locks you down, so you just can't move. And it's always in conjunction. Here's this horrible AE that you absolutely positively must dodge, and you're stuck in place. You're frozen in place and can't move, so you're dead.
Oh.
And it's no fun. But I come back for more. He might drop something that I could use. He might. You have to.
How frustrating.
I actually started noticing I'm taking a break from it, because after having spent a lot of money on gear, I was kind of low on money, and I started noticing that running around killing shit to make money, a lot of the time I was spending more money on repairing my gear than I was actually making killing stuff. And I'm just like, this is too much. this is the line for me. I'm not going into hawk so that I can be frustrated. But I had this awesome little game on my smartphone that's just super fucking difficult. And it's fair. It's fair. I know what's coming. I know what I can't do. But when it pisses me off, I'll play that for 3 hours straight, not getting anywhere. But it's fun. It makes me laugh when I die for the nth time on the exact same spot. I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like, I was talking about Skylanders. It seems like I put up with it in that game. But, dude, Angry Birds, I get to a point where I want to smash my fucking tablet, and I literally will just turn it off because I'm like, I'm not going to wreck my tablet over this. And it's weird because I play this, the Star Wars version, and I really like the game. And when I'm doing well, I mean, I'm pretty good at it, but you get certain levels where it's just like, I get past the point of the creative fun of thinking, ooh, how do I beat this puzzle? And then it gets to that point where you know how you're supposed to beat it, but all of a sudden you have no more hand-eye coordination, or your motor skills just decide they don't want to work properly anymore. And that's when I think I get just beyond pissed off and just have to put it down. You know what you need to do, but you physically cannot get yourself to do it or manipulate the game to get it to happen. And then miraculously, you know, you'll spend 45 minutes, an hour trying to get the 3 stars on this one level and can't do it, go to bed all pissed off. And then the next time you boot it up, second try and you're done, you're like, well, that really wasn't all that difficult. So I wonder, does the rage get in the way? I think yes. It does.
You just nailed it there. Going to bed pissed. I will make deals with myself. Like, all right, I just have to make it past this fucking part, and then I will put the game down and be done for the night. And I will bash my head against a plate, you know, like a steel block that this game has thrown up in front of me, attempting to get past the board so I can quit. And I won't do it. I'll never do it because I'm just paralyzed with, like, rage and incompetence. It's counterproductive.
It is. And then you'd start doing stupid... I start doing stupid stuff like, okay, well, the highest score I got was X, okay, whatever it is, and I got 2 stars. You know as well as anybody, when you replay a level, if you do worse in that level,
sure.
If you scored 2 stars, you're not getting sent back to 1. But when I'm in that pissed mode, I'm like, all right, I'm fucking freaking out. Okay, if I don't get 3, that's fine. But I have to at least get 2 again.
Well, you got
2
before I can go to bed. Because I already got 2 once, so I can do it again. And that's like, that is the, air quotes, I can quit anytime I want, addiction signal, right? Fucking there, man.
Yeah, you know what? You've got a good point. It's the I can quit this anytime. No, you can't.
You can't.
No, you can't.
So you start making those deals.
So I guess here's the question. Is it, rationally speaking, is it worth it? See, I thought Brian was above this to a certain degree because I'm always like messaging him like, dude, this game's great, but on this hard difficulty, it really pisses me off. And he's always like, dude, why just lower the difficulty? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you know? And it makes so much sense. But then I learned that he's like... tying like electrical leads to his tender parts by playing Diablo, which is the single most frustrating experience I've had in the past 5 years. That game frustrated me beyond belief. Just what he was talking about. You're walking along, everything's fine. You get frozen in place and just destroyed by a swarm of bugs or some freezing spell. And I can't do it. So, Brian, you're not really above it. You just choose a different form of self punishment.
It's pride, I think. You have to. You can't walk away from something like that.
You can't.
It's something, man. It's something that's not just the achievements. I think the achievements and stuff just either become a badge or a trophy of some sort.
A red badge of courage.
But really, all they are is an excuse. That's your excuse, you know, of why you're not giving in.
You're right. And it's
because we played, I mean, how many games on the NES, Super NES, the 2600, how many games did you play before this whole achievement thing was ever in place that you slaved over to either? And it wasn't always even about getting the high score. I mean, none of us have mentioned a score thing. It's about getting through that situation.
You're right, Rick. It's about triumphing. Oh, yeah, you right. want to triumph. You want to win. And you're absolutely right about that. Like, I know that the conversation is never going to come up. I'm never going to be, like, hanging out with people like, hey, man, I was looking at your gamer's card, and, yeah, you beat Bionic Commando on the insane difficulty. Nice going. Never, never. It will never happen. And I know it'll never happen.
It's almost like a little digital scrapbook for yourself so you can remember the trials and tribulations you went through to get to that.
But I don't need it because I know, perfect example, Street Fighter 2 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's the best 2 out of 3 rounds every match, right? To get the best ending, you had to win every match. You couldn't lose a single match. So you had to go round 1, round 2, win against everyone. And the game was just made in such a way that, like, the computer would, like, get super cheap sometimes and you were going to lose a round.
Mm-hmm.
I got everything except for that one where you had to beat every single round. Want to know what the reward for that was? At the end of the stupid game, at the end of the credits, it would just show all the characters, like, standing up, go, like, doing their little cheering pose.
Mm-hmm.
I was missing like two characters standing there, like, yeah, cheering along with them on a screen that would just sit there for nobody else to see but me. There was no score. There was nothing. I just wanted to see this ridiculous ending screen, and nobody was there to see it. So it made even less sense than, at least with the achievements, you could show someone.
Right.
With that, I just would sit there with, like, staring at the screen until I turned the game off.
I mean,
which was hard to do.
Yes. Which was very hard to do.
Do you ever share your achievements on your Facebook?
No. My PlayStation trophies, I do. I haven't done that with my Xbox achievements, though.
I don't know why, man, but that's like a big thing for me. I love doing it. I don't know why.
Can you share achievements? I thought you could. You could do that. I'm gonna have to start doing that.
Yeah, you can share them just right to your Facebook page. It posts it up there, and you can either leave a comment or not. I usually don't leave a comment, and it's like, you know, you guys know how many followers or friends or whatever I have on Facebook because of the band and stuff.
Yes.
And I never, nobody ever comments, dude. Nobody ever comments that I've posted up an achievement or nothing. And I'll post it and I'll go up on my tablet and I'll look at it. Like, I'll look at it and smile like, yeah. It's so stupid, dude.
Funny story.
I don't even care that nobody cares. It doesn't matter because it's ridiculous. It's like pin collecting at Disney World, man. It's the same shit.
You people might not say anything, but you saw it. You saw that achievement come up there, and you can't unsee it now. It's out there.
I don't care. I don't care how many people care or don't care or send me an email saying, "God, why do you play that game?" Like, I like that I got it.
I actually got a thumbs up one time. I got a like. I posted a PlayStation 3 trophy, and a girl I know that's actually kind of cute gave me a like. I don't know if she just clicked it by accident, but you want to talk about something that was like, oh yeah, I'm a badass. Yeah.
Sipping on your wine cooler, wearing your Zubas.
Yeah, exactly. I should have just like sent her, what's up? Yeah, we can date now. That's cool. I like a man who can get PlayStation trophies. Yeah, they know. I like it. You should see my achievements. Oh, God. So yeah, they dangle this like it's this fake carrot out there, and your tendency to be stubborn and not back down, combined with the fact that carrot's out there, just keeps you on the treadmill. But I'm gonna say there's a point at which I'm just like, no, no more. And after I beat Spec Ops: The Line on the hardest difficulty, it unlocked. Guess what? A harder difficulty still.
Oh Jesus!
I sat there and like looked at that for like 5 minutes just sitting there like, do I want to start a new game on this? And I'm sitting there, and I was like, you know what? I've proven enough. No. I couldn't do it to myself. I just couldn't bring myself to that point again.
Yeah, I'm easy at, like, walking away from additional ones, but if I've stumbled across one or if there's one that I think is cool, then I kind of do get caught up in it. Like, Battlefield 2, I never went into, like, the harder modes to get the achievements. I just took everything that came as gameplay in that level. And then I did jump back and played a couple things that I had missed because I didn't really know about them. You know what I mean? So I'd go in and, like, redo a level and grab the achievement on a couple of them. But I never got the urge to be like, oh, well, I want the nightmare levels or whatever. You know, the extremely hard levels or, you know, but there were times where it was, like you said, dangling it right in front of my face, and I'm like, oh man, I don't really want to go back in there, but it's like, if I just like blew up three more houses, I would get this achievement. Yeah, okay, I'll play the level, blow up three more houses. Next thing you know, it's 4 hours later because I'm still playing the game forever.
Yep.
So, walking away when it's dangling in front of me, I can't do most of the time, but long term, I can. I'm not about getting it on easy, medium, and hard. I can usually live without that.
I think I actually remember the last achievement that I hunted like that. Like, I just played again and again and again until I finally got it. Remember Geometry Wars?
Mm-hmm.
I got Pacifist.
Oh, did you?
How did you get that?
Oh, you have to not shoot.
You have to not play the game for, like, I think it's 60 seconds. You have to just dodge, which is insane.
That is.
Your board fills up really, really fast. And that one was interesting because, first off, you have this tendency to just like, well, I'm about to die. Let me just shoot the guy. It's so easy. I could just, your hand almost fights you. And then, of course, it's just hard to do. So, fighting the game and fighting yourself.
That's right, you did. I forgot about that. I tried that achievement like 20 times, and I was like, no more. Enough.
That was actually fun for me. It was very frustrating at certain times, but...
I just got mad and opened fire. I couldn't, like, screw you, die!
So, Tom, did you, I could be recalling this incorrectly, but you weren't a big achievement guy in WoW, were you?
Yeah, actually, I left WoW in disgust, and then when I came back, they'd introduce achievements. And I was like, oh, I don't care about it. And then I don't care about achievements. And then I got the notification that I unlocked one. I don't care. And then I unlocked another one. I don't care. Let me see how many of these I did after a while. And the next thing you knew, well, I can get that one. I can do this one. I can get that one. And I was traveling around specifically getting achievements. So, yeah, I was a big achievement guy.
That's actually how and why I played that game. I loved the achievement. I mean... when holidays would come around, like, dude, yeah. The fact that you can only get these achievements once a year was so badass. Like, I hated it and loved it all at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, the Headless Horseman and the Missing Reindeer and all that, yeah.
Yeah. I still think that the achievement stuff in there, what other game could make me fish as much as I fished in a game that wasn't a fishing game solely... to fucking get either a pet. See, that's another thing too. Like, I would love the achievements in there where you would get an in-game thing. Like, I wish they would do that with, well, I guess they do kind of, where you can get avatar items and stuff for unlocking it. So that's what was cool as shit about the World of Warcraft ones is, you know, you'd fish and fish and fish and fish and fish and fish and fish. So you'd get an achievement for fishing, but this whole time you're actually fishing for this giant rat that would actually give you another achievement. So you're earning one while trying to hunt for another one, which I always thought was awesome. And definitely gave you that motivation to continue. I'm not casting anymore. I'm done fishing. And then, boop, boop, you get an achievement that you've, you know, fished for X amount of hours or whatever. And then you're like, hell yeah, I'm fishing for more. So I loved the way they did it in World of Warcraft, and it was definitely one of the things that kept me hanging on to playing that game for as long as I did.
I don't really like to compliment Warcraft very much just because of how far they fell, I guess, declined. Yeah. It was a great game once upon a time, and I think they really knew how to do the achievements well. I really can't think of anything that was just frustrating with that.
Were they the first game to do that? I mean, someone could technically say that Activision, when they offered the patches to the kids who sent in Polaroids of their game high scores, were the first achievements ever in video games. But that aside, is WoW the first game to do that?
MMO-wise, you mean, or...?
Just like the digital trophy for the world to see.
Well, Xbox Live had been... Xbox Live really introduced the concept of it.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if it was Live first and then WoW or WoW and then Live.
Yeah, WoW followed suit fairly quickly after Xbox Live. Achievements became such a thing.
Cool.
And but they were the first MMORPG to do it, to my knowledge. And they then, of course, continued that with... Did StarCraft 2 have them, Brian? I'm assuming it did.
I believe it did, yes.
Yeah, and... they also exist in Diablo, and I'm assuming that's like a thing in all of their games now.
Speaking of Diablo and achievements and how they once upon a time did it well, I really think they lost their way because half the achievements in Diablo are don't play the game. And that's my biggest complaint. One of the achievements in Diablo is sit here and do something else while your character stands there doing nothing, and eventually someone will say something and you'll get an achievement for it. And I think that's just horrible design.
Yeah, aren't there some where you're supposed to just let NPCs battle stuff out and you're supposed to just stand there, right?
Right, the other one for letting the, what's his name, get the finishing blow on his wife.
Yeah.
So you just let him fight the enemy for you. Oh, go make a sandwich. I mean,
actually, you know what? I wish they would let me repeat those lame achievements, and I'd be more apt to play the harder difficulty levels, because as it stands now, there's nothing motivating me to put up with that level of difficulty.
And the one that's, it's Lopan, actually, isn't it? You have to listen to all of the things that Lopan says.
Yes, yes, which are kind of funny, but...
Most of them are funny, but they apparently programmed in, like, a rare drop saying, which... Why? I mean...
I don't like the randomness factor that much. I didn't know that...
There's an achievement for hearing everything he says, and he only says one of the things, like, once every half hour or
something. Some of the time, yeah.
What was one of the biggest achievements you were, like, most proud of in any game, any system?
Boy, in any game ever?
Any game ever.
A very memorable one was getting the Knights of the Round summon spell in Final Fantasy VII by spending, like, 96 hours breeding chocobos. Because for Rick, I don't know if you know this, and for our listeners that don't, in Final Fantasy VII, in order to get this awesome spell, and sorry for the spoiler, like 20 years after the fact, to get this awesome spell, you have to get out to this island. The only way to get to this island is to ride there on a chocobo that can, like, run across these rocks in the water or something like that. It's been so long, I can barely remember. But you know, the only way to get this chocobo is to breed the correct chocobos, and it's not enough to just breed chocobos. You have to breed chocobos who are prime specimens. How do you know a chocobo is a prime specimen? Why, he does well at the chocobo race that you have to enter.
So you gotta breed him, then race him to see if he's worthy.
Yeah, that breed him with another chocobo that also did well in the race. Brian, do you remember this? Like,
yeah, I do. It was.
It was so labor intensive to finally get whatever it was, the black chocobo or whatever you needed to go get the spell. The spell, to its credit, I mean, it was really badass, but I was pretty proud of getting that.
Damn, that sounds fun. That sounds like something I would like.
That wasn't too bad. That was kind of fun, because chocobo racing was kind of cool, and then once you had a good chocobo, you would, like, dust the enemy, and it was kind of fun to lap them, and yeah, it was...
It was.
But it was an investment.
If they did a re-release for that on a modern system with achievements, I would get them all, because there's nothing I wouldn't do in that game.
I cannot fight the urge. They will never remake that game until they've bested it! Until they've made a new pinnacle of gaming! That's a very emotional speech that they gave.
Yeah.
don't count on them ever making it.
They won't do a re-release because they can't top Final Fantasy VII. They can't top Final Fantasy VII because they walked away from everything that made that game great. Anyway, that's a big aside. What about you guys as far as achievement that's totally memorable for you?
One of the very few times anyone will ever speak of this game, because apparently it didn't do very well. It was in Rift, the World of Warcraft clone MMO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was actually pretty good. I had a lot of fun with it, but no one I know has ever heard of it. So... they had world events, like, in each zone that were just insanely stupidly hidden, and there were no clues to them or anything. And it was actually, I mean, yeah, you could look up the spoilers, but what fun is that? You actually kind of had to figure it out. It wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to keep doing this until I get better or whatever. But I was trekking through, I believe it was a frozen wasteland. It was either frozen or volcanic, I can't remember, but not a climate conducive to squirrel life. And there was a squirrel just sitting there. And you walked up to it, and it didn't run away or anything, and it just kind of, like, sat there and stared at you. And you could initiate, like, a squirrel dance ritual. And then all of his other squirrel friends would run over and dance, and then you could dance with the squirrels. And you actually achieved, you got an achievement, and you got a title that you could wear for your character for everyone to know you had a weird squirrel fetish called Dances with Squirrels. So my character actually was Dances with Squirrels in Rift. That was one of my more memorable.
That's pretty cool. What about you, Ricky?
Mine is one from World of Warcraft, believe it or not. It was the possession. I was big into collecting pets in World of Warcraft. And I think the most proud crowning achievement was, at least it was one of the most fun and frustrating ones to get, was the Kirin Tor Familiar. It was an arcane elemental vanity pet. He was like this weird hulky ghosty thing that you got only by...
Oh, the books, right?
Yeah, you had to collect...
Oh, yeah.
You had to collect these books like The Schools of Arcane Magic, and there was a bunch of them, like Induction, Enchantment, Illusion, Necromancy, Transmutation, a couple other ones. And basically... these books would appear, and they would appear there in a hidden location until they could be in one of many locations, actually, until somebody, and it was a random book. So you got a random book at a random location that would sit there after it appeared until somebody clicked on it. When somebody clicked on it, a respawn within a certain time frame, whether it be anywhere between, I don't remember now, but let's say 2.5 hours to 4 hours. So you've got this thing where you've got to click on you've got to find 8 different books and then hope, if you're lucky enough to find this book that has spawned in a random spot, is one of the 8 books that you haven't clicked on already.
Oh, God.
And, dude, I was at work with a little window up because I had joined a couple of different chat groups and stuff where people were keeping record. Arcane Magic Introduction clicked at top spire in Dalaran. And then, you know, so you knew it was clicked at 1:15, so it's going to respawn between fucking 3:30 and 6 o'clock. And then like, log in and check. But I got it, man. After a long time of hunting and deliberate, you know, painstaking organization, I finally got it. And I think that was one of the most exciting, happy, hunted achievements that I ever got.
Badass, man.
Badass. Like, I felt accomplished after I did that one.
So, what made these achievements... I think the common thread, I think I'm hearing, what made these achievements something worth pursuing were the fact that they weren't frustrating. They were just, they just required a certain amount of tenacity, and you weren't, you know what I mean? If you were patient and stuck with it long enough, you would win. You'd accomplish the goal, right?
Right.
As opposed, or in Brian's case, he happened to. I don't know. It was something that happened because he was smart enough to, like, he was clever enough to see the squirrel and think, oh, I better interact with this creature. You know what I mean? Right. As opposed to some of the achievements in first person shooters and or games like that, or maybe even Skylanders, and it's maybe our own damn fault, are hard because of our inflexibility in the face of a challenge, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'll add this to speak about Spec Ops: The Line. I'm going to kind of put this out there for people who want to have difficult games out there. You know, who want to make a game that's challenging but not frustrating. Don't punish the player. And when I say that, Spec Ops: The Line did this inadvertently. The game's perfect except it has one flaw. Every time you die, it's like a 30-second loading screen to load the level back up, right?
That would fucking piss me off more than not being able to get the achievement.
It did. You know, and I'm sure I've endured that technical glitch with other games, 30, you know, long load times. But when you die within 5 seconds sometimes on the harder difficulty, a 30-second load time is like agonizing punishment.
Yeah, that's worse than 9600 baud porn watching.
Line by line appearing. Yeah, imagine in the case of the squirrel, every time Brian got a dance move wrong, his game rebooted or something, or he got, you know, or every time you got to the wrong book, all your books caught on fire. You know what I mean? You had to start completely over or something.
That's
like punishment. And in this case, it wasn't a game mechanic. It was just a technical flaw in their game. But that's just punishingly bad.
Yeah, that's.
It's kind of like EverQuest. Remember, Brian? Since you're speaking of MMORPGs, Rick, WoW predecessor EverQuest was an exercise in punishing the player.
They were just proud of that. They still are.
The one of the game creators was asked in that game when you. I'm sure we've been over this before, but when you died, you respawned, like, miles away, naked, and had to like run through like monster infested like wilds to retrieve your corpse, right?
I have a very clear image of I like to think of like the reality of the video game world. So EverQuest was the first like raid based, and you'd have to have 40 friends to go and kill this guy. So if you and your 40 friends completely buffed in all of your best magical armor with all of your potions and just everything you can find to make the fight easier. If you couldn't kill a creature and he killed all of you, your corpses would lie at his feet and you would have to run back naked without any of your gear and somehow kill him to get your corpses?
Yeah. Yeah, you would die
how
in a dragon.
How does that sound, Rick?
Yeah, that sounds like I would want to kill myself in real life, let Dude, alone the game life.
It was so disheartening. There were times that I just was ready to quit the game. Like, I would basically die at the feet of a monster and just be like, oh, man, I don't even want to play this anymore. Like, this... And so, after the game had been out, like, a year, they asked, like, one of the game... Like, the lead designers, like, dude, why is this so punishing? Like, you know, why, when I die, am I just getting, like... I play the game for, you know, I set up for a raid, I go on a raid for an hour, I spend the next 3 hours just trying to retrieve my corpse so I can play the game again, and on top of it, not only that, you lose experience points and possibly lose your level. You know, if you lose enough experience points, why is it so punishing? He haughtily replied, well, I'm sorry, but death is supposed to be inconvenient. And I like to think he got his comeuppance when WoW came out, because while I agree death is supposed to be inconvenient, then this really ties in nicely with our topic of the show. Entertainment is supposed to be entertaining.
Yeah,
and when
right?
it crosses the line from entertainment to just pure frustration and a source of stress, it ceases to be entertainment.
Agreed.
And I think though we don't consistently arrive at a line at which it goes from being entertainment to frustration, I think we do all agree on that point. So Spec Ops The Line, when I let you guys borrow it, on regular difficulty is entertaining. On the next difficulty level up, it's punishment. Don't bother. Just play regular. It's a great game. It's a great game in its own right. Play it for the sake of the story, not for the stupid 50-point achievement, which I don't think you want. That's my advice to you guys, in parting, as I sense we've beaten this, as I sense we've achieved full beating of this dead horse. Anything else you guys want to add? Any opinions on achievement hunting or running on, you know, treadmills to try to attain? let's say tilting at windmills or something like that.
I want to read, this is one of my favorite achievements, and it's just real quick. Speaking of Warcraft and pets, do you remember the Perky Pug, Rick?
Yeah.
Did you ever get him, or?
No, because I was real weird about playing with people that I didn't know, so I never did a pickup group.
When they introduced the pickup group system, it was random. It would just slap you together with random people. You got points basically for how many different random people you were with, and there was an achievement for like 10 different people and 50 people, and I think the Perky Pug was 100 different people, which sadly I achieved like pretty quickly.
Yeah, I remember you got that one quick.
Yeah, I was like the third person on the server with a Perky Pug. Oh God. It was a cute little dog, and of course the pun, because pickup groups are pugs. But they send it to you in an email. Not an email, I'm sorry. They send it to you in a mail, so you check your mailbox. And I have a transcript of the mail. Dear very patient individual, we'd like to recognize your tenacity in running dungeons with people you probably haven't met before. Hopefully you even somehow... hopefully you even showed some rookies the ropes in your pickup groups. In short, we heard you like pugs, so here's a pug for your pug, so you can pug while you pug. Or something. Hugs, your friends on the WoW dev team. That was an achievement done right. That was worth putting up with 99 people who didn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah, that sounds like it. That sounds like it. And they recognize it when they wrote you the email. I like it. So I think I may have stretched tilting at windmills a little. That it could be an analogy, because what are you really fighting here when you're fighting these meaningless accomplishments, right? You're fighting a non-existent. You're fighting an unnecessary battle against an non-existent foe, right? So, I think it's a good description for chasing video game achievements with a little too much vigor. And I hope that we've done a community service for our listener base when we've sort of identified where the line is for achievements and where you should sort of pull back and call it a day.
And hopefully recommended a few games for you not to get involved with in the first place.
Yeah, and everybody should actually leave us some comments either in the Facebook group or on the site, letting us know some of your frustrating moments, games we should avoid because they're aggravating, or some of your proudest achievements.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to get an achievement for kissing up to the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, I highly recommend that you open up some iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate it favorably, and write us a very pithy comment.
Yeah, and if you don't like iTunes, you can head over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can also leave us a comment, download the show, stream the show, or you can even send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Or you can switch over to Facebook and join our exploding group. It's skyrocketing. It's amazing.
Yes. Join them. And with that said, achievement unlocked, episode complete. I should have said pithy comment. That's from Bill O'Reilly. Yuck. Can I re-record that, or is it too late?